So I move approval of the resolution authorizing negotiations for certain property by purchase related to improvement on Highway 18.
This is what Luke Feeney paid to send my cousin back to Maryland last year and added a couple of rooms onto his house right next to my sister.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I've got no phone, but
I've got a couple other things.
Steve abstained. Steve abstained.
Yeah.
He forgot to say it, but he abstained.
I'm sorry. Yes, you have to abstain.
I have family ties to the Monticello Road project.
Everybody.
Got a couple other things that weren't on the agenda that you don't have to be voted on at this meeting, but that came up post when we submitted items for the agenda. I received this from Elba Association of County Engineers.
You have a
yesterday.
Jeff, do you have a copy?
Did I have a copy?
No, I don't. Thank you.
This is the resolution that is being passed to all of the counties, recommended by the Elba Association of County Board members. To urge passage of a capital infrastructure program in the state of Illinois. And we have made a more formalized copy of that. That's your staple copy that you have in there. And it basically talks about motor fuel taxes have only gone up 10% over the last 8 years, whereas construction costs locally have risen some 90% during that same time frame. And then it talks about the 19 cents per gallon on fuel tax has not been raised since 1990. What the split is there between the state, municipalities, counties, and townships. Basically, what this resolution is saying that if there's a capital program, we need to make sure that the comprehensive capital infrastructure bill has a piece in there for local government, and that it not just be basically, I don't know what you want to call them, port projects that they pick and choose which projects the money gets, but it needs to be put into the motor fuel tax formula so that counties, townships, state, and municipalities all receive their equitable share of that piece of capital program. This cannot be voted on because it didn't make the agenda, but it will be on the full county board agenda for next Thursday for votes. So I wanted to bring it to your attention here at the Highway Committee and see if there was any questions about it before we get to the full county board for Thursday night.
I read through that very quickly and I don't read well, but this isn't implying in any way that we're asking for an increase in the motor fuel tax.
No, it's saying that if there is monies that are passed through a capital infrastructure program that we need, we would like to have that money distributed through the existing formulas so that it's not just money that's picked for projects, basically, and given to municipalities based on who lives there and who has the strongest power in the Senate and the House. Okay? But no, it doesn't say that we're asking for additional cents per gallon on the motor fuel tax. So it's the lower.
But it's going to have to come, though, if you're going to catch up with the...
Somehow we got to get
money.
It's just a matter of how that's going to get and what mechanism they're going to use to raise that money. But all we're asking is that if money is brought forward for transportation, which it appears that there's going to be money in a capital bill for transportation, that it be distributed equitably to the formula to everybody throughout the state. One more thing that we have state bid for, we have a 1995 crew cab that we use to go out and do our sign program, or our, when we do our request for our signs, as well as our crack ceiling and all the other types of things that we do, is, you know, the double door truck that needs to be replaced was on the budget for 2009. It has 221,000 miles on it.
Just started, Jeff. Come on.
Is that all?
On O'Connor's terms, it did just start.
Right.
It just paid.
Just look at me. That's not over 221,000 miles on me. I got a long way to go.
So, it is in the budget, and I don't think we need formal passage of this, but I just wanted to get here.
How much is a truck like that in month?
$25,087 off of the state bid. It's a 4-door, 8-foot bed, 4x2, 10,000 gross vehicle weight. comes from Landmark Ford off of the state bid for $25,000.
Can we get rebates on that?
It doesn't say anything.
It's not a hybrid.
No,
that's brand new, Jeff?
Yeah.
Well, that's expensive.
Yeah, that's a pretty good. I mean, that's why.
Yeah, 25 pounds is selling.
These orders are due by 4/23, which is actually the day of the board meeting. It's an F-250, actually.
Yeah.
We
got a trade in.
If you want to call
it. What do they want to give us with that?
I think we're better off trying to maybe sell this truck on eBay than to take a trade in, because it's not much for trade. It's pretty worn out. We haven't had much wrong trading, and particularly on the state base, because they're giving you such a good price on the truck. They're not going to give you a good price on the trade in.
Yeah.
So we'll see if anybody has a need for it within the county or maybe the township. I don't know why they would want it with that many miles. Maybe they just need it for driving around town and don't mind the high mileage. The other thing, I had a meeting yesterday with Invenergy, which is obviously the mineral development for Champaign County.
And then that goes into
their folks there. Their land developer, as well as their construction guys, just to start the conversation about the roadway use agreement.
Right.
Seem to be very amenable people. Got along very well with them. We have hired an attorney, the same attorney that Bureau County used. State's attorney approved that contract through Christina. And Cheryl Kuzma is her name. This Invenergy has actually worked with Cheryl and other projects, so there, it was quite funny. We were talking, and he started talking about the roadway use agreement, and I said, well, by the way, Cheryl Kuzma told me to tell you hi, and he just got a big grin on his face and said, you didn't hire Cheryl, did you? And I said, yeah. He said, well, she's a tough negotiator, but we work well with her. She'll get you what you want, and she won't try to take it to us. And I said, well, that's a good thing. And obviously, he said, well, why did you hire him? I said, well, this is our first time through this process. We wanted to make sure we had all of our bases covered. And anyway, they were, I don't know that they were pleased that we hired her, but had we hired a lawyer, I think they were pleased in our choice, because I think she has negotiated many of these type of deals with these wind farm people. So we're on our way to that. They would like to get the road use agreement, you know, in place over the next 3 months or so, because that has to be done before they can get a permit to build the windmills. So we'll be negotiating with them over the next 2 or 3 months on that road use agreement. I don't really foresee any real big problems right now. I'll keep you updated at the meetings as we go. Maybe put it on as an agenda item if there's actual real business that needs to be talked about. But that's where we're at with those folks.
Could I ask just jump to something else? Can you give us an update on what's going on with the Curtis Road project?
Oh, yeah, I can try.
Yeah.
newspaper article in Sunday's paper.
Yeah.
Everybody probably saw that and has heard. Basically, what happened is, there was an agreement between Village of Savoy, Champaign County, and the City of Champaign to reconstruct Curtis Road. In the Village of Savoy limits, as well as the city of Champaign limits, but there's a three-quarter mile trust in the middle that is still in the county, which is under township jurisdiction, the roadway was. When we built Curtis Road from Duncan over to Staley, there was never any problems, nobody ever said anything. We just went and built it, and it was all cool. But we get to this project, and 5 days before construction is to start, at a public meeting, the township comes and says, we've never been involved in this process, we know nothing about it. Well, the process has been going on for 30 years. We've had 10 or more public meetings. They've been noticed in every single public meeting. We had conversations with the road commissioner, David McGaff, who stepped down a few months ago. So there has been plenty of communication between the city, the township, and county about this project. But basically, they're using this as a chip in their negotiations for all of this annexation stuff that they're fighting with the city. So we had a meeting last week, Thursday, I believe, city, county, Savoy, and IDOT, and talked about what our different options are. I believe at this time the city and the village are pursuing annexing that property immediately, like have it done by the middle of May. Because if we don't get a resolution to this problem, it could hold up the construction of the project. Stark Excavating is the prime contractor on the job. Still has at least a month's worth of work that they can do within the village of Savoy limits, which is where the first phase was. So there's still work that they can be doing, but if we don't get this issue resolved by May, there could be a suspension of the project. Project could be terminated. There's all kinds of bad things that can happen. Fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to view it, there's only one landowner that owns property along this corridor that needs to be brought into the city, and that's the Lowe family. But I understand that.
Wait a minute. This is over my head. Everybody, you're going to let me in on why
that's an interesting comment.
Dr. Lowe is the only full-time farmer and part-time heart surgeon in the area.
From what I hear from Dick Helton with the Village of Savoy, is that negotiations are going on pretty well to annex that property into the Village of Savoy.
So normally an annexation comes after the construction is over. Isn't that normally the way it works?
By state statute, we have... The city annexes property on either side of the roadway, and the roadway becomes municipal jurisdiction, and the township is out of question. There are agreements that you can have called jurisdictional transfer agreements, which we've done with IDOT, and also done with the township, whereby the township can agree to give up jurisdiction of the roadway to the municipality and or the county, and it's basically a 1-2 page document that everybody signs, sends to IDOT, it gets approved by central office in Springfield, and everything is done. We offered that option to the township. We also offered the option to be a party to the original agreement at no financial cost to the township. And they have rejected both of those offers. It's not about how much money they're getting for the roadway, because they literally get, and this is not a joke, $1,300 a mile to maintain the roadway for motor fuel tax. And if you want to maintain 3/4 of a mile for about $1,000 of 5 lanes of concrete with 10,000 vehicles a day, I don't wish that upon my worst enemy. So it's not about the money they're getting for the roadway. It's about their turf wars with the city of Champaign. I'm trying to stay
neutral
and on the wings so that we don't get drawn in, although they have approached Susan about the possibility, I guess, the county can forcibly take jurisdiction of a township road by some statute if this doesn't all work out. We hope it doesn't go that far, but
well, that
is one
time.
Option that they have asked us to look into through the statutes. So.
I did just speak to the city's legal department a couple of days ago about the process of the negotiations with the Lowe family, and I would echo Jeff's comments there. It does appear to be going very well. So I think there are some common interests there between the village and the Lowe's that can be settled through the process of annexation and actually work to both of their advantages to make that process happen. And Jim Martinkus, who, as you recall, was their attorney in negotiations on Curtis Road, is also working on this part of the process. So I think we're fairly hopeful that this is going to conclude in the next couple of weeks.
Who's doing the annexation, Savoy or Champaign?
Both. Savoy has the three-quarter-mile chunk in the middle of Curtis Road, and then the city of Champaign, we're also doing about a quarter of a mile of Mattis Avenue going north up to Champaign, and that's city of Champaign jurisdiction, but the lows are on that whole area all the way.
The part that's in contest, so it's all...
No, it's both. Because Mattis Avenue is actually a township road for a chunk of it, so it's Curtis Road. So it's two different annexations by two different entities, but it's the same landowner.
Well, I am of the personal opinion this could have been worked out if the proper people wouldn't have been rolled over. Yeah. You know, big brother sometimes rolls over little brother. Don't really care what happens. So I think there's two sides to this story. I'm not saying he's right.
I think it could have been worked out had we not had a change in highway, pressure highway commissioners. The old road commissioner was very good to work with. He would have understood, and I think he could have made the supervisors and trustees understand as well.
I thought he was still on board of trustees.
Yeah?
No.
I don't think he can be a board of trustees and a highway commissioner.
No, I thought he could have resigned his job as highway commissioner. He's not on the board of trustees?
No.
Okay.
That would have been helpful, too.
So, I think this new guy is kind of trying to appease his... Because he really has the statutory authority to sign that jurisdictional transfer agreement. And he's the only one. Trustees don't have any say-so, basically. If he wanted to sign that jurisdictional transfer agreement, he could have signed it.
But that'd be like you signed something
for
the rest of us.
I know. But I think David Gaff had the backbone to at least try to convince people to do that. But I don't think this guy, being so new, really understands.
Treading a thin wall.
Yeah. So... Yes, it could have been worked out, should have been worked out, but somebody missed a step in the process over at the city and didn't work it out, and now at the 11th hour, it's become a black mark.
So I think right now the only work that's being done is on either end.
Actually, it's just on the east end in the Village of Savoy's village limits. Is the only part that's being done. And that was actually, the project is built in three phases, or it's been designed to be built in three phases. And the first phase was supposed to be around the Prospect Road intersection.
Right, which is closed over there.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're actually proceeding in the manner in which the project would, but that can only go for about another month, and then we'll have issues with finding work for the contractor to do.
Okay.
And at that time, you know, if the project is terminated or suspended, there could be a substantial cost to the local entities.
Are we going
to
be stuck with anything contractual for the construction people? I mean,
we very well could. If it gets suspended,
yeah,
and the contractor physically has to move off of the job and go do something else and then move back onto the job,
he's going to charge us for all that.
Yeah, he's going to charge
and
us
if
for
he, and if. You know, the worst scenario, it gets canceled. Do we pay that? We have to pay that contract?
It ain't going to get canceled.
It's going to get canceled.
Well, because you mentioned that, you know, that happened, but it doesn't look like that.
The worst nightmare is that it gets canceled and we have to kind of do like it's been done down on the west end, where we just bring everything back into the Seal Coat Road and leave it alone.
Leave it alone in the middle.
So this is worked out, and then they'll rebid again. Because the good thing is, if there is a good thing, that the monies that were appropriated to this project by the Federal Highway Administration are actually earmarked in the Federal Transportation Bill for Curtis Road, so those monies can't be taken and put on another project. Now, they could have a vote at Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. that says, we're taking that project out of the bill. I don't suspect that that's going to happen, but typically on a federal project, if you don't deliver the project, the money goes somewhere else. But on this particular project, the money is specifically set aside for Curtis Road, and it cannot be used for anything else.
So. Probably the worst that will happen if it goes sour is that you'll have to negotiate one huge lump sum mobilization number with
That. And actually, it's a time and materials thing. They have to submit, you know, if they move out and then it takes them 2 days with 10 trucks and you know, 12 pieces of equipment to move back in. They charge us time and materials for that move back, you know, to move out and move back in. So, you know, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars probably for something like that to remobilize back on the project. But I hope that doesn't occur. But IDOT has taken a total stance of hands off. We don't want anything to do with this. You know, obviously everything has to go through us because it's a Federal Highway Administration project, but they actually have the authority just to take the roadway if they wanted to. But they're not going to do that on behalf of the city because they don't want to get involved in this mess. So they're more big brother watching over than being a player in the game.
IDOT used to be good taking hands off and leaving their man on the job on an island.
Yeah.
You figure it out.
So that's where we're at in terms of. Hopefully it's resolved. I think May 6th, if I'm not mistaken, these days could be on May 6th is the Village of Savoy's board meeting, and May 13th, I believe, is the City of Champaign City Council. And they're both poised to have the annexation agreements ready to go at those meetings so that they can be approved. And I guess as soon as the annexation agreement is approved, the roadway, you know, in the next second that it's approved actually comes into the city and it's a done deal. It doesn't have to go through IDOT. There's no type of agreements that have to be signed. I suppose the annexation could get challenged by the township, but I don't know that that...
Jurisdictionally, I don't think they have the ability to do that because it's a road project, and there are some protections for those that don't exist for other types of annexations.
And we're not the only one in the state that this happens to. This happens in a lot of in the major metropolitan areas where the townships are dwindling and they don't want to lose their tax base. And they don't want to give up roads and that kind of thing. So we're not an isolated incident, although I just hope that these things won't happen to you before it happens.
Okay, do you have anything else?
That would be all I have. Thank you.
Okay, and the other people, we have a semi-annual review of the closed session. We had Susan.
It could be a David thing.
It is.
Has David said to you anything about keep them closed or keep them open? Or said anything to you?
No, he hasn't, but the last time we had him, he said he hadn't really reviewed them, so he suggested that they stay closed.
Well, at the facilities committee meeting, he specifically sent me an email saying he had reviewed them and that they should stay closed. And I would feel much more comfortable. And so I would prefer that he have a direct conversation with you and say that before we do it.
Right. I agree.
As opposed to assuming that they should stay closed.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I can see some of them are about personnel matters, and I would think those would stay closed, but the others aren't identified at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we either have to go through the process of going back and each of us looking at those minutes or having him look at them and identify the legal reason why they should be closed. So I would move to defer this to next month.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say
aye. Aye.
Okay, and the consent agenda, we have 6F.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 6F is because of Steve, but also 6C is Chris.
Right.
And he'll have to abstain, and so 6C should be on the agenda.
Right.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah. C and F will have to be on the
agenda. Chris. Mm-hmm. Chris would have to abstain.
Yes, on C.
At a full board meeting.
Yeah.
When I thought of Chris, I sits right next to you. And so
well,
I'm
looking at me.
I'm thinking about Chris because he sits right next to you.
And you too, John, just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun.
Okay. C and F.
Have to be on the regular agenda.
Okay. Anything else for coming for committee?
Move adjourned.
Second.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Susan, the 6:30 closed session, is that for us?
No.
I don't think so.
That is for your number of days.
Okay. Yeah, we actually have our closed session on the regular agenda.
Okay, I just didn't know what I
mean. You don't.
Yeah. See, that's because you're on salary. We don't pay you anymore. When that lawyer comes,
I would have said on the highway, but she may want to have something.
Yeah,
also, the sheriff wanted to have that direct item on the agenda about the HPL contract. Did they get you the information?
No, I don't think he has.
Okay.
I don't think, would it come from him?
It's going to be under the finance committee. Yes, and it would come from him.
Okay, maybe it would. Deb sent me a couple of CC under finance.
Yeah.
To go straight to the board.
Yeah.
So I may, but if not, I'll remember. So I've got it in the
So in other words, he'll drive his combine over to your house and do all that surgery.
He'll have me meet him with his
In the bomb. He's an independent lawyer, so he's not associated as a doctor with Paul or with Provena.
I mean, if there's a problem, by all means, tell me. I mean, I have a ton of, I do work with you, but I just wanted to make it clear, so, Thank you.
And so that's just a standing joke. That
Cohort.
Present.
Beckett.
Here.
Bensel. Carter.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Knott. Kurt.
Yes.
Langenheim. O'Connor.
Here.
Need approval of the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Did you do both?
No, just now.
You really want to move quickly.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Need approval of the minutes of March 6, 2009.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No public participation. Okay, the monthly report for county and township multi-use tax claim for March 2009.
I move we accept and place it on file.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? County engineer.
For signing A is the petition from Compromise Road District. They don't have a map because these are just simple culverts or drains alongside of the township road that will need a replacement. The estimated cost is $8,400, of which we would be paying half of the county ditch fund. That's been petitioned by Marvin Johnson with compromise for the district.
Move to approve. Second.
It's open for discussion.
Jeff, quick question.
Yeah.
When you place culverts, do you replace the metal tube and the cement on the edges, or is this just tube itself? Do you have any idea?
This is just the culvert itself.
Just the culvert.
Yeah. It was our, the township actually does the work.
Yeah.
And we pay
just materials.
50% of the cost of the work.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
B is resolution appropriating the water field tax funds for county engineer salary and expenses for 2009. It's there in your package. Now we vote to approve it.
Move to approve. Second.
Open for discussion. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Item C, the resolution authorizing the county board chair to sign an intergovernmental agreement with Thomas Road District for snow removal and ice control on County Highways 50 and 54 in Champaign County. That's the nice colorful map that I gave you there. These are county roads that typically don't serve the same type of function that a county road typically does, that being kind of a through street. These are more of local roads out in the Mahomet area, around the Lake of the Woods. You'll see them there in purple on the map. There are County Roads 50 and 54 there. Actually, the township has been doing the snow and ice removal on those roadways for probably about 10 years, but the old agreement ran out, and we wanted to update the agreement so that everything is legal and so forth. Basically, what they do is, during snow and ice time, they go out and do the salting and remove the snow from the roadway. These roads are kind of removed from any other type of snow route that we have and are difficult for our guys to get to because they have to use their snow route to come back and pick up these. So we just go ahead and contract with Mahomet. There's no actual money that is exchanged in exchange for doing the work. We order them 200 tons of rock salt per year, keep it in our shed, and as they need it, Chris will send his guys over to get it to keep a small pile of insurance for his work.
Move approval. Second.
Motion for discussion.
I presume Mr. Dennis is okay with this. In fact, he probably requested it. Is that right?
Something like that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Jeff, does can they use 200 tons of salt anywhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That is not. They probably only need 70 or 80 tons.
Right.
For our roadways, but
we're not paying for fuel.
Right. No, this is our only payment to them. So basically, it's total payment for all their man hours, their equipment, using our salt, that kind of thing. So they do get some benefit out there. And I think they typically use 300 or 400 tons of salt a year on a road restricted. So this is maybe a little over half of what their typical use is for all of their roadways. But it's a good deal for anybody concerned.
How do they just start out?
Same way we do any salt better than that, we don't cut.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Next item is resolution awarding contract of 2009 materials materials for the townships. But it was held on April 8th, 2009. I think you should have a separate, it wasn't in the agenda package. You didn't have the bids done and so forth by the time they sent out the agenda packets. But this is the seal coat oil that the townships use in order to do your maintenance on the roadways. Every year we have a bid opening. The townships come in, set up their programs, decide based on our estimate how many gallons of liquid asphalt they'll be using on the roadways in a given year, and we combine all those together and have one big letting for all the townships for a substantial amount of gallons for basically it's emulsified asphalt is item one there in the second sheet. This year the volume was considerably lower because the prices, as you know, with fuel being higher, obviously asphalt is a byproduct of the fuel industry. This year's low bid price for the major item there, the HFP 90, $2.22 a gallon. Last year, the bid price for that item was $1.59 a gallon, so it did go up some 63 cents. Although the $2.22 is consistent with bids that are happening around the state, actually, it's better than most of the bids that people have received around the state. I've heard of 250, 235, I think 2.2 might be the lowest one that I've heard of around the state for these types of materials. But this bid is basically they go to the asphalt plant,
with a 8,000-gallon tanker. It's filling up the 8,000-gallon tanker. It's taken out to the roadway. The distributor draws the asphalt out of the tank into the distributor truck and then sprays it on the roadway prior to application of the aggregate material. So this 222 is everything until the asphalt hits the ground, basically. So it's paying for the actual material, the shipping of the material to the site, and for the spreading of the material on the roadway. Hmm. So this bid comes from Illinois Construction, who is a local seal coat company. They've been doing this for years and years. And even though it's higher than last year, I still think it's a very good bid. Our estimate was actually $2.60 a gallon that we made up during the winter when fuel prices were just a little bit higher. So it is quite a bit below what we had estimated. So I'd ask that you approve that bid.
Move to approve.
Second.
Up by discussion. I guess if anybody in favor would say aye.
Aye.
The next item is the closed session, so I'm going to have somebody make a motion.
I move we enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 122C5 for the purpose of considering the purchase or lease of real property for the use of Champaign County. In closed session, I ask that in addition to board members, the county engineer and the state's attorney and our administrative staff be present.
Second.
Beckett?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Jay?
Yeah.
Kurt?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.